The old men will dream, the young men will seem to know what they never have learned. Your daughters and sons will see what's to come before the Messiah's return. Wonders and signs, plans and designs will pay out their final day. Rumors and war will threaten no more. The waiting bride is called away. Here comes the
forward for our children's moments. Let's go to the middle. Come on. How are you? Do we have a bag today? Maybe not. Oh, well played, whoever has the bag. All right, y'all come over here. I'm going to have to create something out of nothing. That. All right, y'all come over here. When God created the world, right? What did he have to work with? Nothing. What do I have to work with for this children's moment? Nothing. Not even my own brain, probably. Nothing is there to help with this. So God created the world, right? And how many days did it take him to do it according to Genesis 1? How many days in the week, son? Seven. All right. We'll get there. We'll just keep guessing until we get it right. So we've got 7 days, well, actually 6 days of creation, and then you know what God created on the seventh day? He created sleep. He created rest. He created the opportunity for us to relax. And that's a hard thing for us to do, isn't it? You know what the longest commandment is of the Ten Commandments? To remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. To rest. That's the longest commandment. And do you know why it's the longest commandment? Because we're not good at resting. We think everything revolves around us, and we think that if we're not doing something, it's not going to happen, or it never will happen. And some things, that may be true, but a lot of times, we know that God has been in existence long before us, right? And he's going to be long in existence long after us, right? He's done great things, and he continues to do great things. And he invites us to be a part of that. But he doesn't necessarily need us to be a part of that. You know what he would rather have? Instead of needing us, he wants us. How many of you like to be wanted? Yeah, raise your hand. All of you raise your hands. All right, there you go. We want to be wanted, and we love to be wanted, and God wants us. And so I want us today to remember how much God wants us, how much he loves us, and how just like he took nothing and created this world, he created each and every one of us as well, okay? So we're going to pray, and then you all can head to Children's Church, all right? Yes. Very good. All right, well, let's pray now, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and grace. We thank you for these children that we have with us today. We pray that you would continue to bless them. We thank you for all that we have, not only to teach them, but also all that we have to learn from them. We pray that you would bless them and help them to grow into the men and women that you have called them to be. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. right, you often go to children's church. Forgot to mention earlier during our prayer time, Joe is at Pleasant Hill this morning preaching. He's filling in for Todd this morning, and so we want to be in prayer for him and be mindful for him. And of course, Mike and Kim and Chad and Roger are taking the church to the people here in Elkton, Kentucky, because of course it is the fourth Sunday of the month, and we want to thank them and continue to be in prayer for them as they go and pray with those who are not in church this morning. Today we're going to begin a sermon series, and I know what you're thinking. Yay! All right, and you're here on the first day, so that means you'll come back and hear the rest of it. And this sermon series we're going to be looking at through the season of Easter up through Ascension, and we're going to be looking at people who said things about Jesus. Those who proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah, or those who proclaimed him as the King. Some of the people we'll be looking at proclaimed this message, but they didn't necessarily even believe it. Today we'll be looking at Pontius Pilate, and we'll be seeing kind of the irony behind his proclamation. We'll be looking at the women who come to the tomb and find it empty, right? And they go and proclaim. And we'll be considering all of these people who have seen and proclaimed Jesus. Some of them who did so on purpose, and others maybe who did so inadvertently. You'll notice also this morning, the pyramids are red instead of white. Typically, they're white during the season of Easter. Red, of course, symbolizes the blood of Christ, and it reminds us of that, but it also reminds us of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And as we continue to consider these people over the next several weeks, we will really be considering the work of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit moves and works in us, oftentimes when we are unaware of his movements and his work. So with that being said, I want us to hear now from John's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 33 to 39, and chapter 19, verses 19 to 22. Hear now the word of our Lord from John 18. Pilate went back into the palace. He summoned Jesus and asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own, or have others spoken to you about me?" Pilate responded, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your nation and its chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus replied, "My kingdom doesn't originate from this world. If it did, my guards would fight so that I wouldn't have been arrested by the Jewish leaders. My kingdom isn't from here." "So you are a king," Pilate said. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. I was born and came into the world for this reason, to testify to the truth. Whoever accepts the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. After Pilate said this, he returned to the Jewish leaders and said, "I find no grounds for any charge against him. You have a custom that I release one prisoner for you at Passover. Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" Now, chapter 19, verses 19 to 22. Pilate had a public notice written and posted on the cross. It read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Therefore, the Jewish chief priests complained to Pilate, "Don't write the King of the Jews, but this man said, 'I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I've written, I've written." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again so very much for this day that you've given to us, for this opportunity we have to gather together as your people, the church. We pray that you would be with the words you have given to me this morning. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to comprehend. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. We ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. When we think of the Holy Spirit, as I mentioned earlier, we tend to only associate the Holy Spirit with Pentecost. That's typically when we talk about the Spirit. That's typically when we think about the Spirit. We often believe that that's when the Spirit finally shows up, right? There's been all of this stuff going on throughout Scripture, and the Holy Spirit has finally come. And we often forget, or maybe we just fail to see, that the Holy Spirit has been working throughout Scripture. The Holy Spirit has been working throughout, ever since creation, to proclaim the redemption of God, to proclaim the coming Messiah, to proclaim who the Messiah is, and now to kind of point us back at who the Messiah was on this earth through his death and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit has been present throughout. And again, over the next several weeks, as we look at some of these key figures, some of these interesting characters, we need to recognize it is the Holy Spirit who is active and working. Pontius Pilate is our focus for today. Pontius Pilate is an interesting character. He seems almost a minor character, and yet we say his name every week, right? Every week we say his name through our affirmation of faith. Typically it's the Apostles' Creed. Today it was the Nicene Creed, and so again we were reminded that it was while Pontius Pilate was in office that Jesus was crucified. And I'll wager this morning that we probably know his name better than we probably know the name of all 12 apostles. And that seems interesting. But again, we say his name every week, and we are reminded. And again, I think this helps to place these events in history because, of course, we know that Pontius Pilate did, in fact, rule Judea for a time under Emperor Tiberius. And Pilate, for our purposes today, is a Roman prefect. That is his job. He rules over the area of Judea under Caesar Tiberius, and Pontius Pilate reigned in this area from about 26 to 36 AD, so a few weekends ago. And he only comes to Jerusalem. The only time he comes to this city is when there are festivals taking place or when there is an influx of people. Now we know that during the time of the Passover, when Jesus would have been crucified, that there were probably well over a million Jews that had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And Pontius Pilate knows that if he's going to continue to keep order, if he is going to continue to do the work that he has been called to do under the emperor, that he better be in Jerusalem to keep order, to make sure things are going the way they need to go. And what's so interesting about Pontius Pilate is that he is a Roman, and so he's going to think probably very little of the Jews. And we know that there is tension between the Jewish authorities and Pontius Pilate. But in all four Gospels, Pontius Pilate serves as an advocate for Jesus. He finds nothing wrong with Jesus, nothing certainly deserving death. He's more than happy to have him whipped and released, but that is not what the Jewish officials want. Like most authorities in that time, and we see even more in Acts as Paul and some of the apostles are dealing with some of the authorities, Jesus perplexes and even frightens those who are in power for reasons that they really cannot explain. We think back even to John the Baptist and how Herod feared him. There was something about John the Baptist that intrigued Herod, right? Kept him coming back and calling him back to hear the things he had to say. And we're invited into some of this conversation between Jesus and Pilate today in chapter 18. Pilate is intrigued by Christ. He's intrigued by the things that he says, by the fact that he's not trying to get out of anything that's taking place, and how he continues to seem to answer questions with questions. Isn't that frustrating when people do that? Well, how are you today? Well, I don't know. How am I today? Right. The Holy Spirit is present in this passage. Something about Jesus compels this conversation with Pilate about the truth and about the kingdom of heaven. Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate asks quite plainly, and he says, who said this of me? Later he says, will you say that I am the king? But if I was the king, my guards would have been here to protect me. He says, my kingdom isn't of this world. And so he speaks to him of the kingdom of heaven. He speaks to him of truth. And Pilate, being the good Roman that he is, wants to know about truth. And there are four instances in this passage, in the passages we've read today, where Pilate refers to Jesus as the King of the Jews. And he inadvertently speaks the truth. Of course, we know this is the working of the Holy Spirit. Pilate doesn't know that. We don't know whatever becomes of Pilate in terms of his faith. But we know that whether he means to or not, he calls Jesus by his rightful name. And all of this comes to a head in chapter 19 when Pilate puts on the cross Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. And he has this written in Greek, Aramaic, and Latin. There is no one who will pass by this that will not be able to read and know what this sign is. The inscription that he puts on Jesus' cross serves several different purposes for Pilate that we want to be mindful of. The first is that if Jesus claims to be king, if Jesus is saying that, then Pilate is bound by law to have him executed for treason. Because, of course, Caesar is king. And so that is what Jesus is condemned with treason against Caesar for claiming to be king. And that's why he has to have him executed in this way. By referring to Jesus as the King of the Jews, he upsets the Jewish people. Now, I mentioned there's some tension between Pilate and the Jewish authorities. They don't really like each other. They put up with each other, but they don't want to have to see each other, like brothers and sisters, right? Sort of. By referring to him as the King of the Jews, he does this to snub the Jewish authorities. We see they get upset. Don't call him the King of the Jews. Say that he said he was the King of the Jews. There's a huge difference there. And Pilate says, I've written what I've written. And part of the reason he wrote this was to get at the Jews. You have forced my hand into executing this person, so I'm going to do it my way, and I'm not going to do it your way. Now, a few of us who are married this morning might know how that feels. Somebody tells us, I'm going to do it my way, and I'll show you. I've never done that. Abby's never done that. We're good. But the sign that Jesus would have on the cross, it was very typical for criminals to have signs around their necks indicating what they had done. It's very reasonable to assume that the two criminals who are crucified alongside Jesus also have signs indicating what they have done. And these would serve as advertisements and warnings. If you don't want to end up like this person, don't do this. Right here. In plain Greek, Aramaic, Latin, all of the languages that would have needed to be seen. And everyone who passed by, and there would have been a lot of people passed by, would have seen Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. And again, we don't really know what prompts Pilate to do this, but the Holy Spirit puts on display who this. Let there be no doubt. This is the Messiah, the King of the Jews, who is dying. Who is dying on behalf of all of those who can see this sign and those of us who don't see that sign. This is an ironic title from Pilate, but one that speaks truth to the world. Again, Pilate doesn't believe that Jesus is the King of the Jews. But even if he wanted to believe it, he'd say, well, here's what happens to your king. My king, Emperor Caesar, is still on the throne. Ironically, the one who wanted to know what truth was proclaims it to the world, advertises it for all to see. Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. This whole story is strange and weird and and funny at times and heartbreaking all at the same time. And it's just a very strange series of events with this person named Pilate. And it shows us how the Holy Spirit works with or in spite of us. We see the Holy Spirit working through Pilate. We see the Holy Spirit working through the Jewish authorities in some amazing ways and almost contradictory ways, but necessary ways. And I know what you're thinking. Matt, you've done an excellent job this morning, but who cares? What's the point? What's the purpose in all of this? All right, I'll tell you. You've waited long enough. If God can use Pilate, it stands to reason that he can and wants and will use each and every one of us here. There is no reason for us not to be led by the Holy Spirit to proclaim that this is Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Again, as we'll see over the next several weeks, the Holy Spirit uses people, whether those people know they're being used or not, for the purposes of God. Because the Holy Spirit is sneaky. The Holy Spirit is an interesting person. And we have the opportunity to witness that. We don't have to believe in the Holy Spirit for the Holy Spirit to work, as this passage plainly shows. But how much more powerful it is when we do believe the Holy Spirit. When we do recognize that the Holy Spirit is among us. When we do recognize that the Holy Spirit has gifted and graced each of us with the gifts of the Spirit, with the gifts for proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Pilate inadvertently advertises Jesus as Israel's Messiah to the world. He's seeking to poke fun at the Jews, but in actuality, he proclaims the message all Christians stand by today. The Jewish authorities are attempting to force Pilate's hand to get rid of Jesus. And in so doing, they bring about the salvation that God always intended for his people. As we consider Pilate, as we consider others through the coming weeks, I pray that we are encouraged and reminded of the Holy Spirit's work. I pray that we would avail ourselves and open ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. That when we wake up in the morning, we might say, Lord, your will be done. Help me to see the movement of the Holy Spirit in my life and in the lives of others. Carry me where you will. Do with me what you will, so that your will might be done and people may know that Jesus the Nazarene is indeed the King of the Jews, the Messiah, the Christ. All of us in here this morning are vessels of the truth. And like Pilate this morning, we may be wondering what the truth is. We may be searching for what that truth means and how we express that truth and understand that truth. And that is why we gather. That is why we come together, so that that truth may become known to us in very tangible and real ways, so that when the Holy Spirit calls us to do something crazy, we'll do it. And God will be glorified. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day, for your love and your grace. We thank you for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit, and we pray that your Spirit would fall afresh upon us this day. Remind us whose we are. Remind us what you have called us to. Show us where you are leading. We love you. We thank you, we praise you, and ask all of these.